Welcome to the Higher Ed Jobs Podcast. I'm Andy Hibble, the Chief Operating Officer and one of the co-founders of Higher Ed Jobs.
And I'm Kelly Sherwin, the Director of Editorial Strategy. Today, we are happy to welcome Adriana Kizar. Adriana is the Dean's Professor of Leadership, Wilbur Kiefer Professor of Higher Education at the University of Southern California, and Director of the Pulleas Center for Higher Education. Adriana is an expert in a number of higher education realms, including changing faculty trends, contingent faculty, change management and leadership, and institutional culture, to name a few. Thank you so much, Adriana, for joining us today.
I'm pleased to be here with you. Thanks so much.
So, Adriana, well, let's set the stage a little background here. You and I met at the AACNU, the American Association of Colleges and Universities Conference, a few months ago, where you presented alongside two of the Delphi Award winners. So can you just give us a little background on not only the Pulleas Center, but also the Delphi Project?
So the mission of the Pulleas Center at USC is to advance equity in higher education. We're a research center. We started about 25 years ago, and we do research that spans access to college, to graduate education, looks at issues around student success in particular, but we also focus in on other equity issues such as for faculty. The Delphi Project on the changing faculty and student success emerged about 13 years ago as I was doing my research on change in higher education. I, for three decades, studied change and reform efforts, improving, you know, teaching on campus or making campuses more inclusive places. And as I've been doing that research, at the beginning when I started doing it, people would talk about things like reward structures weren't supporting changes, you know, innovations. But then about maybe 15 years ago, I started hearing that, you know, it's really hard to do teaching improvement when the faculty are cycling in every semester and they might not be here next semester. And it was through that awareness I started to explore what was happening with faculty trends. And I started to see that 70% of the faculty were now on contingent appointments. And I hadn't been as aware of that. And I thought, I'm sure others are not as aware of these trends. And so through the project, we develop awareness about the changing faculty trends. We collect data and research to inform campus policies and practices for better supporting contingent faculty. Part of the research that we collected showed that there are really harmful practices on campuses that don't support faculty who are on contingent appointments. And so we really make an effort to collect research to understand what are the kinds of policies and practices that can be put in place to create better supports. The other thing we do is advocate for those changes and partner with organizations, national organizations, to help ensure that campuses have access to the information that we provide at the Delphi Project.
Just a quick point of clarification for folks to make sure we're all on the same page. For the purposes of the project, how is the term contingent faculty defined?
Sure. So the largest percentage of that is 52% are adjunct or part-time faculty. We don't like to use the term adjunct because it's not a very asset-based term. It means not essential. So we've been using the term vital faculty to refer to what are now faculty on contingent appointments. The other 18% are full-time contingent employees. They usually have year-to-year contracts rather than semester to semester, which is what most part-time faculty have. They are often termed lecturers or instructors on campus, so they at least have a full-time appointment.
Thank you for that definition. And I will say, as a contingent faculty member myself, I would prefer not to be labeled as non-essential. And I do kind of like the vital role. So I think the terminology is huge. That's a huge benefit in how we're framing these roles. So thank you for that. So I know you talked about the Pulleas Center. Can you expand a bit more on the Delphi Project, and have any of your goals changed, obviously, over the years as trends have changed?
Thanks, Kelly. That's a great question. So we initially played much more of a role of gathering up and understanding, I'll call call it the problem, right? What was going on in higher education? Why is it that one of the things I think we're going to talk about later is that we were seeing negative student outcomes as a result of taking more courses with what we're terming again, vital faculty. And I really came to understand it's, of course, not these faculty members. It's the unsupportive working conditions that they have on campus. So early on, we spent a lot more time gathering up the data to help people understand the issue. Now we've really pivoted more through things like the Delphi Award, which is an award we give to two campuses each year, actually two entities, I should say, because it doesn't have to be a campus. It can be another organization like a union or a national association or a consortium. Anyone who's doing work to advance better policies and practices for non-tenure track faculty or advance what we call new faculty models. So we gave the award to Worcester Polytech Institute a couple of years ago because they have put into place something called a teaching intensive tenure track role. And that's where those who do teaching can move into what they, you know, traditionally we have not rewarded faculty with tenure for excellence in teaching. Instead, it's been excellence in research. So these are institutions that are now giving tenure, which are, you know, long time secure appointments, to faculty who are focused in on teaching. So we are trying to foster more of these kind of new faculty models as well. So we have pivoted towards really trying to capture now more of the good work that's going on campuses. It's a dynamic field. Things are changing. That's good. When I first started this work, actually, there were not a lot of campuses that were focused on making changes. So my efforts were about making the argument for why we need to do the changes. Now I'm spending a lot more time trying to capture what kind of really good work is happening out there so I can propagate more of that across the academy.
Thank you for the really insightful roadmap of kind of where you've been and where you're going. And you had mentioned the Delphi Award, and I believe you're approaching the seventh year.
Correct.
Of award winners through the Delphi Project on the Changing Faculty and Student Success at the Polias Center. Could you talk about the impact of that initiative and how institutions can be considered for the award?
Yeah. You know, early on, I would say in this work, I would occasionally hear about a campus doing a wonderful set of changes, and I would write up a case study about it. I'm always trying to capture good work that's happening. But I realized I just didn't have a good vehicle for doing this. I was thinking about doing a survey. Can I survey and find out? But I knew I wouldn't get the depth of understanding about the good work out there. So instead, I thought about the idea of an award so people would apply and I would be able to get to see the good work. And in fact, each year we get 50 to 100 applications and I'm able to review those. And then I, you know, see all this tremendous great work that's going on out there. And I was lucky enough to find the Teagle Foundation that saw this as a compelling way to be able to identify best practices and push the field forward. And they provided funding for the first 4 years of the award. And now we are funded through the TIAA Research Institute to give this award each year. And it really has been a game changer in terms of being able to identify the different, like, amazing policies and practices that are going on out there. So campuses can apply if they have done either of the two areas I mentioned, created supportive policies and practices and or created new faculty models. The criteria for applying is that they can describe this and have fully implemented the initiative, that it's become institutionalized, that we know it's going to stay in some way on the campus, that they use data to evaluate the changes so we can see over time whether, you know, it's successful as it's intended, that they partner, and this is a really important one, that they partner with their vital faculty to develop the policy, that it's not done in isolation without the interests of those who are the benefactors of the changes, that there's a clear focus on equity, that they are considering how to make this position, you know, in comparison to others on campus, as equitable as possible, and that they're attentive to issues around climate and culture. We think it's really important not to just say, put professional development in place for, you know, vital faculty, but on the other hand, have a climate of disrespect that exists on campus. So we are really looking for campuses also that are attentive to how do these policies really add up to make a difference much more broadly in the culture of the institution so that vital faculty feel a sense of inclusion and belonging.
That's wonderful. And I'd be remiss because when I read about the 2023 awards, which the University of Arizona won, as well as Loyola Marymount University, I read through a little bit about what Loyola Marymount's program was awarded for, which is their program is called Promoting a Greater Sense of Inclusion and Stability for Non-Tenure Track Faculty at Loyola Marymount University. It created a holistic environment where their more than 950 contingent faculty are provided with clear rank and promotion criteria, fair faculty evaluation for both part-time and full-time faculty slash lecturers, improved compensation and benefit. Their program also includes inclusion and shared governance through contingent faculty participation in the Faculty Senate, class scheduling priority for part-time faculty, and annual and extended contracts that help ensure employment stability. That's fantastic.
It is.
Calling all higher ed professionals. If you like what you're hearing on the Higher Ed Jobs podcast, subscribe to Higher Ed Jobs Insider Update, your weekly ticket to the latest opportunities, trends, and insider tips in the world of higher education, delivered directly to your inbox. Don't miss out on featured job postings, career advice, job search tips, and more. Subscribe now and stay one step ahead in the ever-evolving landscape of academia. Head to higheredjobs.com/insider to sign up. Your future self will thank you. Once again, that's higheredjobs.com/insider.
Is there more you'd like to share about winners? Not only Loyola Marymount and University of Arizona also has an amazing program, but what are like successful common practices or overall themes that you've seen that can give folks listening a little bit more of a tangible side that, if you will, if I'm a contingent faculty member, vital faculty member, if you will, then it kind of sounds like, wow, I want to check out that place. I want to go work there. What can you share with folks that might get them a little bit excited?
Andrew, thank you for that question. Yeah, I will say that we have seen a vast variety of policy and practice changes. And as you were just listing from Loyola Marymount, one of the criteria we really look for is that breadth of a series of changes because, you know, changing a culture really means you're looking across a variety of policies and practices. So we see campuses working on everything sort of starting on the front end, you know, issues of hiring. How are they hiring faculty, for example, earlier? One of the major problems with vital faculty is they can be hired at the very last minute. So right before the class is about to start. So campuses that are considering different ways that they're engaging in much more thoughtful and systemic hiring processes is one of the changes that we see on many, many campuses that have gotten the Delphi Award. Of course, a big one is then once you're hired, what kind of contract are you on? And Loyola Marymount mentioned like having longer term contracts. Really exciting, some of the award winners we've had in the past, like University of Denver, they're giving their vital faculty what we call longer term contracts, 5, 7 years, 10 years. So we're starting to see real attention to longer term contracts, sometimes after a short probationary period of a couple of years to ensure that they're a strong teacher first. But we're definitely seeing a movement across different award winners towards these longer-term multi-year contracts. Another theme is improved salary and benefits. This is, of course, a huge issue. The salary for vital faculty averages, this is like one of those statistics that just sticks with you, $24,000 a year. So it's about the same as fast food workers, sometimes less. And we really have to deal with the salary equity and ensuring benefits for this group of faculty. And so we've seen amazing efforts by institutions like Bay Path College, also one of this last year's winners, University of Arizona. They did a big effort to look at both increasing salary, but also salary equity, which is another issue, just ensuring that there's comparable pay for their vital faculty. So we're seeing a lot of movement in that space as well. One of the things that impacts particularly this, the issue of student success, is the access that vital faculty have to professional development, any kind of mentorship, any kind of orientation to the campus. I mean, it's surprising, but on a lot of campuses, they're kind of left out of a lot of these processes, or they're offered in ways that there's no access for the vital faculty because it's on campus or at a time they can't come. So the whole issue around accessibility of some of these things, or offering pay, since this is often, you know, something that they're doing on their own time. So campuses, I've seen a tremendous trend towards paying for, and we saw this at good examples, Montgomery College, but also at Bay Path College, where they're paying their contingent faculty to show up for their professional development. They're ensuring that they have really good orientation. This is really important, particularly around the quality of teaching and learning on campus. If you're not oriented to who the students are on campus, you can't serve those students well. If you don't know the goals of your course or how it fits into a course sequence or the goals of your department, it's really hard to deliver good teaching and learning. And so we've seen a big movement in that area. Promotion. You see this with both of our award winners this year, University of Arizona and Loyola Marymount, both focused in on creating a career track. For the past few decades, if you're a vital faculty member, you just kind of stayed in your role forever, just drifting with no career track. And campuses are moving to create, as they have for their tenure track faculty, a career track so that you can get promoted by showing excellence in your work, that you can get a pay increase. These are really important motivators, especially if we want faculty members to deliver their best in the classroom. Having a promotional scheme is really important to those efforts. You mentioned with Loyola Marymount, looking at evaluation. That's something we've seen across award winners, is really looking at how do you provide good feedback to faculty members, and not just student evaluations, which we've seen tremendous problems with. They've been used punitively to fire a vital faculty member if they, you know, try something new in a class and it doesn't go well and they get some negative student evaluations. They can end up getting fired. We've heard many, many stories about this, and a reason why they don't implement professional development if they do have professional development opportunities. So re-examining evaluation is absolutely critical. And Harper College is a great example from our award winners, where that was really the whole area they tackled, was really revising their evaluation system. So occasionally we will give an award just for somebody, you know, diving deep into one area where they really make a significant change on that effort. I'll just list a couple others because I just want to give you the breadth, but thinking about service is another area. Often vital faculty are expected to do service, but there's no aspect listed in their contract about that. And so that goes back to the contract issues. Really, what is the work of the vital faculty, being clear about that? There's been a lot of abuse where faculty members do all sorts of free service because they're afraid they won't get a contract the next time if they don't offer up service. So campuses have been looking at that issue. And I've already mentioned this, but really the issue around climate is really critical. So campuses that have been doing climate surveys to understand what is the felt environment for their vital faculty. We've given awards for campuses that are focused on that area as well. So it's a comprehensive range of issues, and I'm happy to follow up on others. And I know we're going to talk about governance, because that's one of the most important changes.
Yeah, well, let's go into that area. I know when I was at the session, both the universities that we were discussing, both University of Arizona and Loyola Marymount, stressed how important having the non-tenured track and contingent faculty members be part of, you know, including the shared governance. So can you go a little bit more into that on why it's so important?
Yeah, all of my research, I have gone out to campuses and done research on a series of campuses that, you know, were able to innovate. This was early on, one of the first studies I did, trying to capture how were campuses able to, you know, kind of the path, I'll call it the path to change. How were they able to institute changes for their vital faculty? One of the things that came out of that initial study I did about, it was about 13 years ago now, was the absolute centrality of involving vital faculty in shared governance. That once their voice was able to be at the table at campus where decisions are made and where policies are created, they were able to significantly change not only the wrongheaded policies that currently exist on campuses, but they were able to offer up significant ways to think about new policies that the campus hadn't even considered or thought about. So there's just no substitute for having the voice at the table to be able to make, I'll call it also ongoing changes. It's really easy to make sort of one change to a policy that administrators can really see as egregious, but then just understanding the whole depth and comprehensive nature of the set of changes needed to support vital faculty, really, it's just not going to come without them being at the table and having a voice. So we see this with almost every award winner, is that they end up including their vital faculty in governance, and then it just really open, it just like blows open the whole process of them being able to do this better than they were before they, you know, included them in significant ways in the governance process. And this is both at the institutional level with the academic senate, but also in departments. It's really important that they be invited to departmental meetings as well.
I think a key phrase that you just said is able to do it better. And I think it's exciting, this conversation, to hear all of the things that these colleges and universities are doing to try to push that forward. So a question, you know, it said it started about 7 years ago with the award. How many applicants were like the first year? And you said now it's up to about, is it between 50 and 100?
So the first year, I think we had about 20 to 25 applications, and it's kind of increased each year as we've offered it. And you know, it's just been, as I said, incredible to see the work out there. And I just really encourage campuses that are doing good work to submit and to be rewarded for their efforts. And, you know, because they do really serve as a beacon, as a light for others, and provide ideas that campuses may not otherwise be able to identify. I haven't seen any other way beyond my award for people to identify how they might do this work better on their campus.
And I think that's part of the reason why I was so excited for the conversation today, because I love that campuses can learn from other campuses. And I'm sure you would love the fact that if there was thousands of colleges and universities applying for this award. So hopefully colleges and universities can move towards making things better. And we talked about including, I don't want to make this sound so simple, but it's not that hard to include other voices. So thank you so much for, you know, giving some background on that.
Thank you so much for that wonderful summary and vision of what institutions are out there trying to do to, at its core, be inclusive of this very important part of their team. And more importantly, the impact that this part of the team has on the success of the students they are serving. If what you're feeling right now is that we're just trying to put a positive, happy pace at this, listen to the first part of this conversation and understand that not all institutions are that way. But what we're saying is there are institutions who are purposeful in this way. And if you're interested in a career in doing this and want to take your career seriously because it works for you, here's what you should consider.
Join us next time for the conclusion of our conversation with Adriana Kizar.